Welcome back to Wild Game Dynasty, folks. This is Gary Morgan. Hey, we're here with a brand new podcast, and I think you'll really appreciate our guest, Kevin Lee. And, he has a business. It's called Ash Kickin' Barbecue, and it's not a play on words. Okay, maybe it is a little bit, but I think we'd all agree that anything barbecue, that smoke flavor and all that kind of stuff, and that's what Kevin does. His whole family is involved. This is going to be episode 130. So, hey, without me continuing to ramble on, let's get right into the podcast with Kevin Lee from Ash Kickin' Barbecue. Kevin Lee, this is Gary Morgan calling.
Hello, Gary. How are you?
Good, not too bad. I appreciate you dialing me up on the phone and agreeing to this podcast with Wild Game Dynasty. We're up to, 130, 140 podcasts that we've done recently, and we really, really appreciate you agreeing to come into that mix of things. And we got a little bit different topic than maybe some people are accustomed to with our podcast. We're talking hunting and fishing, but that's how I know you, through the hunting and fishing connections. But I also know you through another avenue, and I thought, man, this is perfect, because with what you do in the hunting and fishing, and a lot of why we hunt and fish is because we like to catch and eat what we catch type thing. So anyways, hey, here you are, and I appreciate it.
No problem. I appreciate you having me.
Well, you have a new business. I know you live down in that, I would call it the greater Detroit area, that Macomb County, I think it is, if I'm not mistaken. But you have a business. You know, when most people retire from something that did well for them, and a lot of people will kind of rest on their laurels, but you did something in your retirement time besides hunting and fishing that is pretty cool. It involves eating or preparing a wonderful dish for us to eat. It's kind of in that restaurant business, but instead of me rambling on, I'm going to turn this proverbial microphone over to you. You let us know what you got going.
I retired, and I just didn't want to be sitting at home on the couch watching TV. And like you, there's nothing better than family. And so I just happened to inherit a smoker from my mother and years ago, and started smoking food in the backyard, and while I was reloading shells or watching a tiger game, and next thing you know, the neighbors are over enjoying it and maybe having a pop or two, and then they would ask me if I would be kind enough to do their graduation party or birthday party, and I did. And by word of mouth, and I guess a halfway decent product, it started taking off, and I didn't think of it as a retirement, but when retirement got close, which it did a couple years ago, my son-in-law, Matt, he had mentioned that we need to, you know, kind of build this business a little bit. At first, I was kind of apprehensive, but, he's an engineer, and he, like everybody nowadays, you can always use a few bucks in your pocket. And so over dinners and family meetings, we talked about it more and more. We decided to go ahead and purchase a food trailer.
Oh, wow.
So we did. We had to do a lot of homework because it was new to both of us. Yeah, at this point, I was smoking food. I got into some competitions, never won any, but I was always up there, being respected by some of the other people that are in the business, and met a ton of great people.
Mm.
And so we talked about it more and more. And the next thing you know, we're ordering a food trailer out of Houston, Texas.
Oh, wow.
And long ways away, but, down in Texas, they do that a lot.
Yeah, they do.
And a lot of the big manufacturers are from Georgia and Texas. So we found one. We put a down payment on it. He guaranteed us that we'd have it in 4 to 6 months.
Oh, perfect.
This was in February, right before COVID started.
Oh, no.
And that 4 to 6 months turned into 2.5 years.
Oh, and, no. Oh, my.
Yep. And so there's a lot of money sitting out there, and a lot of sleepless nights and a lot of phone calls. But finally it got done. And me and my son-in-law and a friend, Carl, we drove down to Texas all the way down south of Dallas. He came up north a little bit from Houston. We picked it up and we drove it back. And that's when I found that my F4 250 pulling that big trailer got 6 miles to a gallon.
Hey, was it one of those King Ranch versions? We'll call it
one of the bigger Lariats or whatever, the 250. And yeah, 6 miles to a gallon. But we got home. The trip overall was a great time because, like I said, I was with my son-in-law and a very good friend of mine. So we had a lot of laughs, took our time. We got her home, and then there was more work. And, you know, we had to get it inspected and the fire suppression system inspected. And my daughter, Erin, thank God she's a great business person because she handled all that.
Wow.
And once we got it going, my wife, Cindy, and Erin and Matt, we sat down, we come up with a business plan. Everybody figured out their roles. And the best part of the whole thing, and one of the main reasons I got into it, is to have my family involved.
Wow. And, that's awesome.
Tyler, my grandson's 27. He's in the food business. And my granddaughter, which if you meet me at Myers or at a gas station, I'll probably tell you about her. She is going to be competing in the Culinary Olympics in Stuttgart, Germany. She's leaving the 27th of this January.
Wow.
She'll be gone 2 weeks.
That's big time.
Yeah, it's a huge thing for our family and friends. She'll be competing in the pastry.
Yeah.
Portion of it. Mm-hmm. And it's actually called pastillage. And so she's in the food business, and so we all kind of got our roles. We got our backups, so I can enjoy hunting and fishing and not worry about letting the business slow down. Mm. You know, and
so this is basically
a family thing. And
yeah, that's what I was getting at. It sounds like it's all, you know, all in the family, which is a great thing.
Right. I did not want to start working full time again. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to worry about business, and I didn't want to miss any fishing or hunting trips or going up north, you know, northern Michigan and, you know, shooting sporting clays and things like that, which we do a lot. So it's really worked out well and kind of brought a tight family even tighter.
Mm. Very nice. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's outstanding.
It's been a good ride.
Well, when you kind of, I'm walking this back a little bit, but I mean, when you started this whole interest of smoking meats, I mean, obviously you talked about your mom had this smoker that was kind of tucked away for a long time. You got it out, and it's like anything. It has to, you know, spawn itself from someplace. But at what point, at what point did you say, hey, I'm having a great time and I'm going to have some more fun and I'm going to get, I mean, does it just happen or
kind of happened on its own, you know, once I started smoking the food and had, you know, friends stop by and we shared it with them or made them a meal, then you realize how good the food is.
Yeah.
And after, doing it for a while and trying different recipes and different ways to smoke the food, you enjoy the food a lot. You know, there's so many things you can do with a smoker, from making pizza to your typical, you know, ribs and pork, that you know, it kind of drew even my neighbors in, you know, and everybody enjoyed it. And when you see people sitting down and enjoying something that you put together, it just makes you feel good.
Yeah, it does. You know, it's funny how food brings us all together like that. When it's done in a methodical manner, like you all with your family, and everybody has that assigned role, we'll say, and you know, so that not one person is stuck, you know, pulling the wagon all the time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Man, that's awesome.
And we're not going to do it 7 days a week. If somebody wants something catered, something like that, we'd love to work with them. But, you know, we don't want this to be a full-time job because my son and son-in-law and daughter, they work full time, you know.
Yeah.
And me and my wife, we worked for 50 years. That's enough of that. Let's just do it for enjoyment.
Yeah.
You know, and like I said, make a little money on the side and and enjoy people's company. We just have a great time doing it.
What's the name of your business?
It's called Ash, A-S-H, Kickin' Barbecue.
Oh, that's cool.
And like that. Even that name, when it came up, we're all wondering, what can we call our business? You know, we're fairly new at this. What can we call it? So we thought of everything imaginable, you know. for a while there, yeah, it was going to be called Frisky Brisket Barbecue. You know, we try to take all the initials of the family members and, and make some words out of it and things like that. And I forgot exactly who came up with the name. But when someone said that, it kind of rang a bell. And my daughter checked into it, and nobody had used it. So we went down to the county and kind of locked that name in.
Yep.
And, you know, it's kind of a catchy name.
Sure
I've had I had a police officer from Houston, Texas, who I did not know from Adam, and he texted me last week, and he wanted one of our T-shirts. He says, I smoke foods, and I collect these T-shirts from unique barbecue, you know, establishments. So we're sending him one down next week, and he said he'll take pictures of him wearing it in these cook-offs and things like that. So we're excited about that. Plus, talking about the law enforcement and stuff, we, when we're done at an event and we have a tray of pulled pork or beans or ribs, we always make sure that we hit a, if it's a fire station, an old folks home, we have several of them on the list
that
have opened their arms to us and said, heck yeah, come on by. So we'll go by and we'll drop off maybe a tray of pulled pork for a fire station.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And so we try to do our part in the community.
Yeah.
And you know, if someone comes up to us and says, hey, I work at this old folks home or something like that, if we can legally do it, because you got to watch.
Yep.
You know, you don't want to cross your bound, you know, cross any enemy lines.
Correct.
We will go by and we'll drop off a tray of food or however we can help.
Yeah.
So very seldom does it go to waste. And at the same time, we're helping the local community too.
Yeah. I'm going back to this guy with his T-shirt thing out of Texas. And I'm thinking that's just a short story on a, that you're offering up, that you traded him for two tickets to that yesterday's championship game from down that way. And is your way of telling about it.
it's really funny, because when he said that, when I think of Texas, I think of boar hunting.
Yeah.
And I've been fortunate enough to go boar hunting in Texas several times with some very good friends. And when he said he was from Texas, the Houston area, I actually told him, well, I'll send you a T-shirt. You hooked me up with some boar hunting property. And, you know, you just never know nowadays. It might pan out, because the guy said, I'll keep my eyes open.
Yeah.
And if I can find you some boar hunting property, I would be more than happy to have you come on down here and hunt.
Wow.
Just out of a text, out of nowhere. So who knows where to go? You know, worst case, you know, we lose a $10 T-shirt.
Yeah.
But we make him happy, and you never know. Maybe I'll end up with some boar hunting property down there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And
that would be wonderful.
Yes, indeed. You can always take a smaller size smoker, not the one that's on the big trailer, and along and see if you can maybe, you know, get some cuisine going while you're down there. So
no lie. And he said he smoked food, so we could go down there, maybe exchange some recipes. And it'd be a great time if it ever panned out. We'll see, but at least he'll be happy with one of his Ash Kicking Barbecue T-shirts.
That's right. Hey, when the camera was Panning. You didn't see him in the seats last night, did you?
No.
there'd be a free advertisement that would have cost you probably half a million.
Oh, wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, that's funny.
Wouldn't that be great?
Well, speaking of that cuisine, I mean, I can't think of anybody that really doesn't. Well, anybody that likes meat, loves smoked meats, there's no doubt about it in my mind. But what's your menu look like?
Well, we have a little bit of everything. You know, when you have smoked foods, people mm-hmm. always want the pulled pork or the smoked ribs, brisket, things like that. So mm-hmm. we always have those on board. But at the same time, you have to come up with something different.
Yeah.
And so we do it again as a family. We come up with a recipe. We get everybody together. We try it. We may change it a little bit here or there. And if it passes with flying colors, we add it to our menu.
Yeah,
if it's kind of in the middle of the road or we don't care for it, we do not even think about putting it on the menu. So in the past, like I said, this business has only been really taken off with the trailer just this past summer. And so we've done a lot of experimenting with food, and two items that we came up with here lately that have really taken off are the egg rolls with pulled pork in them. So
no kidding.
You get the
egg roll.
Yeah,
what now is it? Egg rolls with pulled pork in it?
Yeah, it's a pulled pork egg roll. So what is we actually take the egg roll wrap, and we put the fresh smoked pulled pork in it with just a little bit of seasoning, a little bit of barbecue sauce. We wrap it up so it looks just like your typical egg roll.
Oh, my.
And we drop them in the deep fryer for about a minute and take them out, let them set for a minute or two because they're too hot to serve.
Yeah.
And then we give it to the customer. And we have had rave reviews about our egg rolls.
I haven't even had one. I got to believe that would be dynamite, man. Holy smokes.
They're so good. And then our mac and cheese we always have on our trailer, and it is smoked mac and cheese. We don't oversmoke it because you can do that real easy.
Mm-hmm.
So we just have a good smoke flavor in our mac and cheese. And then what we're doing now is we're using very, very small macaroni, what we call them shells,
mm-hmm.
and we make the macaroni, we make the fresh pulled pork, we mix the two together, then we make it into a ball, maybe a little bit smaller than a tennis ball,
mm-hmm.
and then we put the Italian breadcrumbs around it, and then we deep fry them.
Wow.
So they're golden brown, they're crunchy on the outside, and then in the middle you have that pulled pork, that cheese and noodles, and we cannot make enough of them.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, it has really been a great seller for us, and it's something different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we go to an event where it's outdoors, we make what they call the walking taco. So we'll take a Frito bag, pour about half the Fritos out, fill it up with a pulled pork, some baked beans, coleslaw, and we put the Fritos back on top, and the people can walk around. If it's some type of event, a festival, they can walk around with a fork and this bag of Fritos and enjoy a little bit of everything.
Yeah, I would say, holy cow.
That's
awesome. This I can see and I sense it just in your voice inflection, that you guys are having a great time with this. The whole family's having a great time. And then
we are.
You guys get to, I would assume, I mean, when you come up with something, you said that it has to be tested. So, doggone it, there shouldn't be anybody in the family that says, I'm not going to that event. I mean, that's got to be a fun time.
It is. You know, we get to, we have a lot of family and friends that visit us on all our events. We've been very fortunate to do a lot of business with Big Red's Orchard.
Oh, man.
Just west of Romeo.
That's a great place. That's all. Boy, that guy's done some marvelous things with that piece of property.
He has, and he's put his heart and soul, and the owners are fantastic people. And again, to them, it's all about family and, you know, bringing people out there and enjoying the day with the kids and, you know, mom and dad and the brother-in-laws. And it's a fantastic place, and we've been very fortunate enough to work with them and serve some food.
Wow.
And so we even named our macaroni and pork balls after them. They're called Big Red Balls. We're out there quite a bit working with them.
You guys are having some fun times with this, I can tell. That's pretty cool.
Fun times and work when you want, you know, because when we got into this business and I visited so many food trucks and establishments where they kept the food trucks, and a lot of food trucks out there, unfortunately, they smoke their food right now and they sell it in the summer.
Oh, no.
They smoke it, they freeze it, and then they take it, they thaw it out in boiling water, you know, a bag vacuum sealed bag, they drop it in boiling water, they take it out in the summertime and they serve it to where Ash Kickin' Barbecue has a smoker right on the trailer. We smoke it fresh right in front of everybody.
Wow.
And serve it to them fresh. We're a little bit different. Not everybody cooks during the winter, but I did run into quite a few people in the business that's what they do. And we didn't want to do that.
I was just going to say it was more importantly, it was just a business practice you didn't want any part of.
Right.
Yeah, that fresh smoke is really important.
A little bit different. It is. You know, the other stuff is still good, you know, but it's like anything else. There's nothing better when it's fresh and right off the smoker.
Yeah. My daughter and her husband own a bakery up in Marquette County, and, you know, and if it's fresh, it's great. If it's not, and they do the same thing. They look for a place, an outlet. And they'll box up some things and drop them off at businesses, and it's good PR. It's you know, they'll have a nursing home or something, and there's employees and residents there. It's their place that they live in, and it goes over very well. And it's, you know, but anyways, you know what I want to touch on this podcast, knowing what, you know, we went through everything that you've touched on. Is how about the average person that has a smoker, and I'm one of those. I enjoy it, but I get a little frustrated, and then I called a buddy of mine who, you know, John, and he's pretty darn good at it. But he got frustrated one time too. Give me that thing. I'm taking it in the house and put it in the oven. and you know, sometimes you got to do those things. And I was looking for a way to smoke something that would take about an hour and a half so I could drink a couple beers out in the carport in the open air and not get bugged by anybody. but it sounded cool, but it can be frustrating. But you know, when things went well, they went well, and when things didn't, it's like, oh my, you know, what little tidbits or things that you can help kind of soften this keep it a fun time for people, because like you said, it's really enjoyable for you guys on the family side, but for a guy that maybe, you know, he just wants to mess around with a smoker, what things should he or she be thinking about?
Well, I can tell you when I competed in smoking, it seems like all the big competitors have I call them stick burners, or they smoke with logs. And that's what most of the big boys do.
Mm-hmm.
But your general backyard, have a beer, cut the grass while the smoker's going.
Yep.
I went to a pellet smoker.
Mm-hmm.
I bought two large, what they call Rec-Tec out of Georgia, pellet smokers.
I know which ones you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. And with the pellet smoker, it's kind of a no-brainer. You know, for your backyard barbecue guy, I don't think there's nothing better. You put in the pellets, you put the temperature you want, which most things are around 220 to 230.
Yes.
And you let it go. What one thing you have to keep in mind is, which I found out, is no two pieces of meat will smoke identical. So you can't say it takes me X amount of time to do a pork butt or X amount of time to do a brisket. They will all fluctuate. They have what they call like a where the temperature will go up, 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 and then it will just stall.
Yeah.
And it will just sit there.
Yep.
And you'll see that temperature not move. And then you're wondering, what's going on? Do I have to turn it up? Is there something wrong?
Time for another beer.
Time for another beer and be patient. And then you'll see it get by that stall period, and you'll see it take off up to the desired temperature you want. So a couple things. One, I take a lot of notes, okay? So I know basically how long something should take. So if I'm serving to a birthday party or a wedding, I always tell the people, all right, you want to eat at 2 o'clock. I'll be there between 1:45 to 2 and maybe 2:30, depending. And, you know, you can adjust your temperature a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, like they say, you want to smoke it slow. So, but if you get behind, you can always kick it up 10, 15, 20 degrees and kind of catch up and then turn it back. But no two meats cook the same, and take notes so you have a good idea how long this is going to take. Now, you can smoke a pork loin. You can do that in a couple hours, you know. And again, you can go to the store and you can buy a 6-pound pork loin or an 8-pound pork loin, you know, and they come in all different shapes and sizes. So
yeah,
if you get a smaller pork loin, you know, a couple beers and finish cutting the grass, it's done.
Wow.
You know, and but one thing that has helped me out is I got like a, what they call a thermal pen to say, I if I'm doing pork butts, because I can do about 20 pork butts on my smoker at the same time.
Holy cow. That's a that's a bundle of meat there.
Right. And I take these thermal pens and I plug them in a couple different spots in the smoker, and I can be in the house watching Michigan win the national championship or football playoffs, and and I can just look at my phone and say, okay, they're progressing nice. They're at 160. I'll let them set, you know, keep going. I can set in my house and watch the temperature of it. So that takes a little bit of headache because you don't ever want to open that smoker a lot.
Yeah, I've noticed that too.
You don't want to constantly be in there poking it and looking at it. You want it to stay closed, and you can do that with one of these like thermal pens, which they have, you know, dozens of different manufacturers of these pens. And, you know, that's what you want to do is just set it, let it go, watch a thermal pen, and then take notes. You know, everything's got to be pulled off at a certain time.
Okay.
You know, you want to pull your briskets off, say at 203, 204, and you also want to wrap them, you know, 160 degrees, 170 degrees. You want to wrap them with like a butcher paper. Not real thick, because then it'll cool the meat down.
Where are you picking up this? Let's stop just a second here. Where are you picking up these thermal pens at? These thermometer, thermostats, whatever.
Well, like so many people nowadays, I go on Amazon.
Okay.
You go on Amazon and look just thermal pen, and you know they have a bunch of different ones, and you can pick them up from, you know, $29 to $129.
Okay. How about this butcher paper? Is that same thing?
Yeah, same thing. Or you can go to your, you know, they even have it like at the Myers by my house, you know, but I bought the 24-inch wide one.
Yeah.
So when I do brisket, I don't have to lay down two pieces. I can lay down one piece, and normally an average size brisket will fit right in there. So anything like that. And a big thing that will help the backyard smoker is there's so many smoking addicts, I'll say, that have their own website.
Yeah.
And you can go on there and you can listen. And even if you pick up one or two different ideas off that, you know, watching one of their videos,
mm-hmm.
and then watching somebody else's videos or watching Pitmaster on TV.
Yeah.
It seems like every time I watch one of those shows, I see something that I want to try, and, you know, it helps.
Wow. That's awesome.
And you just get better and better. And to me, I enjoy watching that, listening to that, you know, listening to podcasts on smoking mm-hmm. if I'm driving up north.
Yeah.
But there's so many things, like you said, you know, you do a pork butt, it may take you 15 hours, 16 hours.
Yeah.
And it's tough to time that when you have company coming over the next day.
Yeah. You know? I ran into that once or twice too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't
thinking.
You
don't want to. Yeah. So what you want to do is maybe look at something like a pork loin or some stuffed burgers. Or even ribs. Ribs are pretty good where you can nail those down. Now, when I was in competitions, you had a 10-minute window to turn those in.
Wow.
And but at home, I don't have a 10-minute window.
No.
But you can get them within about, maybe a half hour. So if you have people coming over at 6 o'clock, you can pull them off at 5:30. And what I do is I wrap, like if I get something done, especially a brisket, I'll wrap it. A towel around the butcher paper after it hits, at 203 mm-hmm. degrees, mm-hmm. wrap in a towel, put in a cooler. And I've had them set in a cooler for 4 hours, take them out, and you can't even hold it with your hand. It's still hot.
Really?
And that's what happens when it sets. It just holds all that moisture in. It's like a good steak. You don't want to take a steak off the grill. You know, at home and cut right into it. You want to let it set a little bit and let it pull all that moisture
mm-hmm.
inside,
mm.
you know. And, but it's really kind of funny that you learn so much smoking food. And I'm not saying I'm the best at it or the most experienced, but, there's just so many little things that you can do to make it different.
Wow.
So many different rubs that you can put on there. People say, put a layer of salt down
mm-hmm.
because that will be drawn into the meat. Mm-hmm. Salt will do that. And if you put the rub on top, it'll kind of draw some of that rub down into the
mm-hmm.
texture of the meat and make it just that much better. So
have you done any wild game?
I have.
Whether
I've
it be
wild salmon.
Game or maybe farm raised wild type game.
I've done salmon. That has turned out very, very well. Mm. And it's easy.
Really?
It's very easy. The recipe I have is extremely easy. Salmon's expensive, but the rub and the mixture that you make for it is really, really easy. And I'm telling you, it is like eating candy when you're done.
Yeah.
It's so good. I've done some back straps. Mm. On it, mm. Turkey legs,
wow,
you know, things like that. But you gotta be careful when you get into the wild turkey or pheasant, because pheasant can dry out pretty quick. Turkey can dry out pretty quick.
Yep.
So you got to be careful when you do that. Wild boar smoked hindquarters turned out fantastic.
Wow. Mm.
You know.
This is awesome.
People say you can't eat wild boar, but I love that as much as I do going to Myers and picking up a pork loin there.
Yeah, I've heard that.
You know.
I've heard that tell from somebody one time that they went to a place, I think in Alabama, where they go down and shoot the wild boar, I say shoot or hunt, whatever, but then the facility that they're staying at will smoke up. One of the boars, they always shoot an extra one. The guy says, Gary, I'm telling you, I didn't eat anything in my life that's been any better.
Oh, I know it. It's fantastic. And so many people just shoot them and let them lay.
Oh, man.
And that's one of the reasons, one of many, that I like to go down to Texas and shoot mm-hmm. them. Because we load up the coors and we drive them back. You know?
Yeah.
We have pork for quite some time.
Yeah. We started doing these... Osceola turkey hunts in an orange grove about an hour outside of Tampa or not Tampa, excuse me. I'm losing my mind here. Anyways, it's just into the Osceola, well, Lakeland, gee whiz, Tigers training camp,
okay,
right?
Okay, yeah,
but,
yeah.
But it's just a little ways from that, about 40 minutes, really. And it's overrun with some wild pig. There's no doubt about it. I mean, it's way too overrun. And the farmer gets frustrated, so he says, hey, yeah, I don't want to see you wasting them, but you're welcome to shoot as many as you want for the most part.
But he says,
if I start seeing piles of them, you know, left behind, he says, we got a problem, which is cool.
Yeah.
That every, you know, that we're doing some conservation measures, not just, you know, elimination, but not just taking them to the train station. So, he had a smoker and he did a pretty good job. It was awesome. But, and he even said he's kind of rushed this one. And, but, you know, guys that come down there, I remember that I had a group of three and, they shot their turkey. We had a great time. I said to them, limit out on your turkey before you start shooting the hogs. That's what you're here for. So they each shot.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. They each shot a turkey. And the one guy said later on, he said, I think I had as much fun or maybe a little bit more, pick on. I said, it is because, I mean, you shoot one, you're not tagged out. And, but it is, like you say, it was a lot of fun. And those guys brought empty coolers with them, which was pretty neat because they hauled it all back.
We always do, yeah.
Yeah.
And if we're successful to harvest a couple wild pigs and we hit a home run and we butcher them up ourselves right there and clean them up and bring them home and pack them up and smoke them up.
That's right, yeah. Well, Kevin, this has been a great podcast. I know the people that listen to these podcasts are. I've gotten some feedback. I've got 5-6 guys, a couple gals actually too that I rely on giving me, you know, the good, bad, and the ugly type thing. And probably if there's been anything ugly, it's been hey, Morgan. You talk too much. But I thought, okay,
yeah. I don't think so.
But they'll give me some neat feedback, and usually what they're saying is. I know it's going to happen on this. They'll say, so how do you get a hold of this guy, Gary? You know, so, hey, I'm reaching out to you. How do we get a hold of Kevin? You from Ash Kickin' Barbecue.
Ash Kickin' Barbecue has got, they're on Facebook and Instagram. And I can tell you, I'm more than glad to give you my phone number.
Please do.
I don't know, yeah. You can get a hold of me, and we'll get the team together and get you a quote, and you'll be very happy. My phone number is 248-390-7541, and I live right there in Washington Township.
Wow.
And we would love to hear from anybody. No party's too small, no party's too big. We've done from 20 to 250.
Wow.
So... yeah, I'd love to hear from people.
You mentioned that place, Reds, but there are other places that if somebody says, hey, we're thinking about having you cater, we just want to test pilot your product, is there a place that they could check you out?
There's Big Reds is the main place. We're not there all the time, you know, but we're there quite a bit. But you can always check our website. We keep it updated on where we'll be.
And how,
you know, any public event, we'll have it on there. If it's the Peach Festival or the big soccer tournament, Romeo, anything like that, we will keep our website updated, ashkickinbarbecue.com. And, you know, if someone's interested and they want to test it out, you know, look on there, find out where we're at, and come by and say hi.
All right. Hey, we appreciate this. This has been a great podcast. It's been a learning experience for me too. You summed it up by giving us some pointers for those of us that still want to sit out on that open air on a beautiful day and you know, try a little product ourselves. And
better.
Yeah, it is actually. It's like you say. It's like grilling out. It's the same thing. And have a few buddies or couples over and kick back and
enjoy each other's company and smoke a little food.
Yeah, that's right. Kevin, thank you so much. I really appreciate it from Ash Kickin' Barbecue, buddy. I look forward to seeing you up north because we also enjoy each other's company with a bunch of friends that we mutually have. And usually it's in the Grouse Woods or something like that. And
Yeah,
so we look forward to that.
Well, it won't be long. It won't be long, and me and Scott and some of the guys from the club will be up there, and we will definitely stop by and let you know when we're heading north.
All right, sounds good. Hey, you take care. Thanks again, bud.
You bet. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
This week's podcast brought to you by...
Hey, guys, it's Don Higgins with the Chasing Giants podcast and the online Whitetail Master Academy. Hey, I want to take a minute to share with you one of my secrets for finding and killing giant bucks. For many years now, I have used Smokey's deer lures on my rope scrapes to locate giant bucks and get them within range of my stands. I have tried every different deer lure that Smokey makes on my rope scrapes, and they all work fantastic. If you want to take your deer hunting success to the next level, give Smokey's deer lures a try. You won't be disappointed.
And also brought to you by
Michigan Brand. Michigan Brand is a third generation family owned and operated business out of mid-Michigan. We are known for our world famous hams, jerky, and various sausage products. You can find us all over the state of Michigan as well as other states throughout the U.S. Check us out at MichiganBrand.net. That's MichiganBrand.net to learn more.
And with that, we conclude another podcast episode with Wild Game Dynasty. Thanks for listening. And be sure to subscribe in your podcast app to receive notifications on future podcasts. Also, please head on over and check out our Facebook page. Be sure to like and follow it to stay up to date on highlights from our clients' turkey, bear, and white-tailed deer hunts. Until next time, guys, stay safe, enjoy the great outdoors, and happy hunting.